Well, welcome, everybody. Did you hear the recording announcement, I assume?
Yes.
Okay. We are recording the call tonight. And the name of this call, this is Jenny Kravitz, and the name of this teleclass is Believe It or Not, What You Think Influences What You Do and What You Get. So if that's what you think you dialed into, stay. Stay tonight, that we're going to have a good discussion on this topic.
This is Barbara. I think you've heard a couple of beeps.
Yes. Okay, thank you. Who's joined us who hasn't had a chance to say hello tonight yet? This is Jenny.
Hi, Jenny. It's Lori Barron.
Hello, Lori. Welcome.
Thank you.
Hi, and this is Jessica Novick.
Hi, Jessica. Welcome.
Thank you.
Said you could make it. And did anyone else join us who would like to say a quick hello? Okay. Well, I'm sure we've got some people who are still joining us, but we will start, and I got a lot to do in an hour here, so we'll get right to it. Thank you for coming, and thank you for spending your Monday late afternoon or early evening here. Hello, welcome. I just heard another beep. We're just getting started. Welcome to the call. So the name of the class is Believe It or Not, and I'm going to go over a few just quick guidelines. I know many of you who beeped in do teleclasses all the time, but for others it might be a new experience. Really, the main guideline is if you need to, if some noise happens in your environment, just you can put yourself on mute by pressing *6, and then when you want to speak again, you can press *6 again. But I'm going to keep the line open rather than mute it, because as most of you who know me know, I really like to hear you on the call. So you have permission to interrupt me. If I really need to continue, I'll say, hold that thought. But please do ask your questions. And if it does get noisy, I will put the mute on, but hopefully we won't need to do that. I'd also like to invite you to give yourself the gift of being fully present today. After probably a day of multitasking, I invite you to make this a multitask-free hour, if you can. I know some folks are on mute and in the kitchen and doing things, but if you can, just be present. The hour will go fast, and I know you'll receive more that way. So I have a bunch of good stuff to share with you. I invite you to take notes. You'll want to do that, but I will be sharing that recording tomorrow. Okay, any questions on the logistics?
Nope.
We're good. Okay, great. Well, you know, this topic, I have personally studied this whole topic of beliefs and positive thinking. I've personally studied it for many years before I went into the coaching business. And so the content I'm bringing you tonight is a collection of wisdom that comes from many different experts who have studied this topic. It comes from my own experience with myself, some trial and error things about positive thinking and what works best. And certainly since I've been working as a coach since 2002, I've seen what works for many people. So I'm really excited about bringing you this tonight. And it's really, you know, in an hour, it's essentially an overview of the topic, and I have much more that I can share with you tonight, but you're going to get enough to sink your teeth into and enough to use, you know, really starting tonight and this week. That's my intention for you, my hope for you, is that you will pick a couple of specific tips, you know, the ones that really speak to you. Pick those tips to try, those techniques, and to really use some of what you learned tonight. I'd love to hear from you as the weeks go on about how that's going for you. So I'm going to address the three learning points that I outlined in your registration email. We're going to go over those. And if for any of you who brought with you sort of did some pre-thinking or things come up right on during the time, we might have some time for some hands-on, on-the-spot coaching. So you can bring that, and we'll have you walk away with those techniques. Let's see, what else to tell you by means of introduction. As you know, tonight is part of, it's the first one of the Now What preview calls. Now What being the name of one of the coaching tools that I use. It's a wonderful program authored by Laura Berman Fortgang. She's a pioneer coach, really. She was one of the early people who adopted coaching as a profession. And she authored this program. But the way I've structured the preview calls is that they're really, the content's going to be useful for everybody. And then for those of you who are thinking about joining the Now What group or are interested in that program, there'll be something special for you. In fact, I have a little bonus incentive to share with you. And you know what? So that I remember to do that, it'll just take a couple of minutes to share that bonus with you. I think I'll do that at about 10 after the hour. We'll just take a couple minutes break, and I'll share that special offer with you. And then we'll return to the content, and we'll wrap up right, you know, on the half hour, so the full hour time. Is there anyone who would be willing to take the role of reminding me at about 10 after that it's time for me to make that announcement? Because once I get going, forget about it. Will anyone do that for me?
This is Pam. I will.
Pam, thank you. So, you know, whenever it feels right, 10 after, quarter after, just you can pop in. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Great. Okay, so let's jump in. And you know, the first thing I'd like to address, this is one of the three learning points that I mentioned in the announcement of this class, is why is this topic of beliefs, you know, what you say to yourself, what we're thinking all the time, why is that important? And I have a feeling I don't need to make a strong case for this because you're all here. So I think you already believe that beliefs are important. But who would like to share, you know, just why is this an important topic in your mind? We've got a dog who's sharing. He or she thinks it's important. Now, we'll share, you know, what drew you to this call? Why do you think this whole subject of mindset or beliefs is an important one?
Jenny, this is Alicia. And
yes.
I just wanted to share, I believe it's kind of like you are what you eat. And whatever you feed your thoughts is pretty much what you produce.
Yes. I love that. You are what you eat. Right. Yes. Very good. I've heard Andrew Weil, you know Andrew Weil, talk about that. He talks about going on a news fast sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, same kind of thing. Very good, Alicia. And who else has a thought about why it's important?
Well, this is Barbara, and I think that the self-talk can really limit you or open the way for you to try new things.
Yes. Yes. Very good.
We're giving ourselves messages all the time. And if they kind of fall into a pattern, then they can really be a factor in what you do.
Right. Yes. That issue of pattern is a big one. It makes me think of the, I didn't write down this thought beforehand, but it makes me think of the whole, what we're learning about how the brain works. You know, when we try new things, when we learn new things, we're actually creating new neural pathways. So you can apply that to this conversation tonight. When we want to form a new belief or a new pattern, you're actually rerouting in the brain. And that's what that makes me think of. Thank you. Well, I'll share with you what I jotted down, a few thoughts on why I think this is important. It impacts what we think, you know, our beliefs, underlying assumptions, what we say to ourselves, all those things even when we say things in jest to ourselves, you know, there's always a little seriousness in jest, it impacts what you see, you know, your construct, if you want to call it that. And it impacts how open you are. I think one of the biggest reasons for entering into, you know, brainstorming with another person or having a mentor or a coach or a buddy, you know, someone that you're working with to get another perspective is because on our own, left with our own beliefs, you know, we can prematurely screen out possibilities. And we don't even know we're screening out sometimes. And in the confirmation email to you, or in today's announcement in the e-zine, I think it was, I said that beliefs are important because they affect what you'll even willing to attempt. And I was thinking, gee, what's an example I can share with everybody on that? And, you know, the first example that popped into my mind is that fellow who wrote the book, Kyle Maynard. He wrote the book No Excuses. Has anyone heard of that? Kyle Maynard. He must be, I don't know if he's past college age now because the book's been out for a while, but he is a young man, well, as a baby, he was born with no arms and no legs, stumps. It was a congenital thing. And he became, this is a very, you know, extreme example of this, but he became a top state wrestler, you know, on a quote-unquote regular wrestling team for the state of Georgia. And now no one would have blamed him if his construct or limiting belief was that he couldn't wrestle. But that's the way his parents raised him, with this no excuses thing. This is why the title of his book is called No Excuses. So his construct was that, yeah, I have a limitation, but I'm able to do this. I mean, it was amazing to watch him. Has anyone ever seen this fellow interviewed by any chance? No. Well, you can look it up. It's called No Excuses. But that is just a clear example of if he had had one construct or one belief, namely, you know, I can't do sports, that would have set him in one direction. But because there was a different construct there, he was able to achieve an extraordinary thing. That's the most clear example I can think of. A couple other thoughts on why this topic is important, and then we're going to get to the next learning point. But, you know, it's this issue of where do we stop ourselves? Where do we stop ourselves? And when we change our beliefs, we can stop stopping ourselves. two other things, it's also how are you that's the impact on yourself. You might be stopping yourself from achieving something, but what's the impact on people around you? And then the last point, I'm sure there are more. We probably could think of more reasons why this is important, but the last one is not to be taken for granted either. It's how are you feeling? You know, how do those limiting beliefs make us feel? And so if there's another way to think, there are some better feelings that go along with that and that can put us in a more empowered place. So I have a feeling I'm preaching to the choir because you all showed up for the call. But those are some specific reasons why this topic is so important. Okay, the difference between wishful thinking and positive thinking. I think anyone who engages in this work of wanting to learn how to think more positively and productively, I'll give you a warning right now. You will maybe at some point be accused of being a Pollyanna. And Pollyanna has a bad connotation in our society. I don't know. In the real book, I don't remember the real story, but poor Pollyanna, she's gotten a bad rap. But I think it's been taken to mean, you know, rose-colored glasses thing, not really in reality. And I remember one of the first Tony Robbins tapes I ever listened to left an impression on me on this beliefs topic. He said, you know, you can walk around saying, there are no weeds in my garden, there are no weeds in my garden, there are no weeds in my garden, and the weeds will overtake your garden. So that's not what we're talking about here, you know, a rose color, you know, denying reality. That might be wishful thinking, but we're talking about positive thinking. So the big distinction is that positive or productive thinking just you're shifting off, you know, one direction and points us toward what might be possible. And, you know, it's one of those things, I think Dr. Phil is famous for saying, well, how's that working for you? You know, it's that kind of thing. Well, how's that belief been working for you? Is it helping you? Well, if it's not helping you, maybe you've outgrown it and it's time to create a positive, a different kind of belief. So that brings up an issue. Can you control your beliefs? Well, you can't control every thought that crosses your mind. But there is an aspect here of willingness that we'll talk about more. So we're going to move on to how do you identify limiting beliefs and how do you start to generate more productive thinking. But I'll just do a little check-in. Any questions on what we've talked about so far? Any questions or comments? Need clarification on any point? We're good? We're not on mute, are we?
No.
Okay. Every once in a while, you know, conference lines will mysteriously go to mute. Okay, good. All right. Well, no, let's talk about... Oh, did someone have a question?
Oh, no, this is Pam. I'm sorry. I just, when you said that about wishful thinking versus positive thinking with the example of the weeds, it was not so much that you can wish your weeds out of the garden, but that you can say, I can get them out.
That's right. So instead of just wishing they weren't there, the positive thought instead of the wishful thought could be, okay, the weeds are there, but how do I get them out? So exactly. That was a comment, not a question, right?
Yes.
So it's yeah. You got it. That's perfect. Yep. Great. So, you know, in the note to you all, I said a hint. I asked you, you know, see if you could collect some thoughts that go bump in the night, you know, some repetitive, limited thoughts or negative thoughts that you tend to have. And one hint on how to identify these is they often come up right when we're moving out of our comfort zone. You know, not so fast, you know, that kind of a thing. And often when we're, you know, this time of the year, when we're addressing New Year's goals and, you know, new things we want to put in place, that's when the noise can kind of start. Of course, I've got a bunch of things here on how to identify beliefs, but I'd like to hear from you. How do you know when a belief is rearing its head? What are some signs you experience? How do you identify them? Who'd like to comment on that?
This is Jessica. Sometimes I find that I will be considering taking action, and then I'll stop myself because of a belief. An example is that I'll often be about to call someone, and I'll tell myself, maybe I shouldn't. This might be an inconvenient time for me to be calling them.
Mm-hmm. That's a great example. Yep. Yeah, so it's right about when you're going to move out and take action. Yep. Good example.
This is Ann in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to say, another thing is I almost feel a tightness of some sort in my chest. It's almost like I've got doubts in myself.
Yes.
That's kind of how I feel.
Mm-hmm. And you know what? That's one of the things I had jotted down here, Anne, too, was physical cues. And, well, I'll tell you right now, there's one of the tips, we'll do a little advanced advanced tip here. One of the tips that you can try after this call is you'll have, you know, one belief here, we'll call that the limiting belief, and another belief here. And you could say to yourself, how would I stand if I'm, you know, picturing feeling this one? And how would I stand, you know, your posture, if I'm picturing, in this belief? And that'll make the mind-body connection for you. It's a chicken or the egg thing. You might be able to get into the posture of the new belief. But anyway, that's a little bit. We'll talk more about that. But yeah, tightness in the chest. Anyone else have a physical cue that they notice when they feel, you know, are hearing some negative or limiting talk in their head? I'll feel something in my stomach. I'm big on the digestive cue. So be on the lookout for that, because the body will tell you, and it's excellent information. I also think another clue or another indication that we're in the sort of limiting zone is the tone. I think limiting kinds of beliefs will often be communicated in a cynical or sarcastic way. And they might be coming out of somebody else's mouth or out of your own, you know, to ourselves. I've tried that before. Hope it works this time. You know, that kind of cynical or better luck next time kind of sarcasm. So the tone is an indication as well. What about, this is sort of related to tone and the physical cues, what about the emotions that accompany either a positive, what you would call a positive belief or a limiting belief? How do you feel when you're hearing beliefs that hold you back or make you want to shrink? What's the feeling associated with that?
This is Cindy, Jeannie.
Yes.
I'm Sin Chopping.
Good.
I have been for a while. Usually, you know, they don't uplift you. They make you feel rotten and crappy and lousy.
Yeah, rotten, crappy, and lousy. That's the trio. Yeah. Right. Typically, the beliefs or the thoughts that are not really helping us. And by the way, let me just say here, I don't mean that we're never going to have a belief or a thought that is uncomfortable or, you know, I mean, that's the human condition. But we're talking about how we can affect this. So, but that's a really important point, that it doesn't mean, oh, you're never going to have one of those thoughts. It's how are we interacting with it. So the ones that are making us feel nervous, anxious, fearful, or as Cindy so aptly put, rotten, crappy, or lousy, that's a good indication that that is a thought that is shrinking us rather than expanding us. Okay, good. And really, that's the way we can think of these. You know, sometimes if we say positive or negative, it's like, well, it's a good thought or a bad thought. Thoughts are not good or bad. Thoughts are thoughts, you know. But some of them are limiting and some of them are expanding. So what we're talking about here, and this is the good news, that you can, this is the philosophy of all the work on this that's been studied, that you can build the skill of thinking more productively. It's a lifelong thing, but it's something you can practice and do. And I can vouch for it. Do I ever get in a negative mindset? Yes. In fact, this is another little facet of this. It's good to know when you're most vulnerable. I know I'm vulnerable when I'm tired, overtired. I might be more vulnerable to this kind of thinking at night. But I've learned over the years, oh, it's nighttime. So I'll say, you know, I can think, I'll do the little Scarlett O'Hara thing. You know, I can think about this tomorrow. Because I know in the morning I'm more powered up. So, or, you know, you might be vulnerable at other times. So it's good to know yourself and know when you're vulnerable. Because then you can say, oh, okay. Sometimes, you know, it's not that it's going to immediately go away or that you're all of a sudden going to be able to think positively, but sometimes just being able to say, oh, I'm in this place. I'm in this cloudy place. Okay, I'm not going to hang out here forever, but I know where I'm at. In fact, there's a nifty little book you may have heard of. It's called, let me grab it here, Taming Your Gremlin by Rick Carson. And it's a really, it's a good read. He does it with humor. But his whole premise, and this is something I was going to share with you, all the people that have written on this topic, it really boils down to raising your awareness and being able to identify the beliefs. And so Rich Carson, the Taming Your Gremlin guy, he says just getting a sliver of light between you and what he calls the gremlin, you know, you and that thought. So like I was saying about recognizing when you're in a cloudy place, you're not the cloudy place. You're not the limited thought. You're just a person having that thought. So it sounds simple, but when we do that, then we can sort of distance ourselves from that a bit and say, okay, you know, now what direction do I want to face now? Now, one little point here, though. Oh, there's two other things about how to identify this kind of thinking. I was going to say an important point is that we all have blind spots on this, right? Because some of the thinking is so embedded that we don't know it. We just think it's fact, or we don't really think about it as a thought. It's just there. So that's why it's really important to get the perspective of other people. Now, certainly that occurs in coaching, right? That's what the coach does. But you can even ask a trusted source. You wouldn't just ask anybody, hey, tell me when I'm being limited. But someone you respect, a friend, to say, you know, I'm working on this, and I would really like you to tell me when I say something that sounds limiting or, you know, that I could think about in a different way. And you could help each other with that. Because that's important. Sometimes they're so embedded we don't notice. Okay, the last thing I wanted to share on this how to identify the belief is that we were talking about the body giving us cues and our emotions giving us cues. You know what else gives it away? The actual language. So if it sounds like I'm too blank to do blank, and you can insert whatever. I'm too old, I'm too young, I'm too tall, I'm too short. I'm too educated, I'm not educated enough. You know, I'm too blank to do blank. That's one of those formulas that is really going to set you up for limited beliefs. I don't have enough time for blank, you know, or I don't have enough, you know, you can hear it there, right? The scarcity, I don't have enough. If only, that's another good language cue. If only I thought of that earlier, if only I had this kind of this or this kind of that, if only. And then another cue, language cue, is if it's pointing to the past. Oh, I've never been able to do such and such. Are those helpful?
Yes.
Yes.
Good. Okay, so before we move on to, okay, now that we're identifying some beliefs, what do we do about them? Any question, comment about identifying, the challenge of identifying beliefs?
Well, this is Barbara. I have a habit of just, it's not the Scarlett O'Hara thing so much as just saying, oh, whatever. Like,
Oh, yeah. And what is that? Just, what are you saying when you're saying that?
I'm saying it's really not important. It doesn't really matter. You know, it's not giving the thought the full attention it merits.
Yes. Yes.
Because it might be hard to follow through on that thought. So it's just a way of kind of changing the subject or, you know,
giving
permission not to finish thinking about that.
Right. You know what? That technique sounds like it could be really effective. There's probably a time where it could be effective and a time where it could be counterproductive. For instance, it could be effective if, you're on the receiving end of some criticism that doesn't seem warranted or you're in a thought pattern that, you know, you just want to get out of. And sort of, it makes me think of, there's actually a yoga technique where you brush off your arm and you sort of say, so what? You know, whatever. Like the kids say, whatever, you know. So you could use that effectively, but I think the way you mentioned it sounded like, you know, if you use it too much, you might be discounting something that does warrant some thought. Is that what you meant?
Yes.
Yeah. So one thing you can do with that, I think that's an excellent example. One thing you can do with that is raise your awareness of when you would like to shake it off. When you really want to say, yeah, whatever, you know, like when it would be helpful to have that attitude, and versus when something is important to you. That's a good example. I remember you're actually reminding me of one I had once that I thought about where I think it was stating, oh, I don't really care. And I forget what it was about, but I became aware that actually it was something I cared about deeply. So that's sort of like the whatever thing. So great example. And what I invite you to do, and anyone else who has something similar like that, is to see when it's helping you, you know, when you really mean it versus when you don't. Is that something you can do? Barbara?
Yes.
Oh, good. Let me make sure I didn't lose you there. Okay, great. Great. Very good. Did anyone do the little pre-work or come to the call with a belief that they would love to be able to do something about? I mean, I have plenty of examples here I can give you, but if someone's got one live that you would love to have rewritten, speak now.
Well, this is Jessica, and you know, one that I often tell myself, I'm married and I have a 5-year-old child, and when I consider doing something for myself, I often tell myself that wouldn't be fair to my family or that it's not right for me to take up my time for my own things and abandon them and their needs.
Oh, that's a great one. Yeah, that's right. And that's something similar to that is very common thing to come up when we're trying to take care of ourselves. Right. So I take it that this is one that's come into your awareness that gets in the way of your self-care is what you're saying.
Right. And
okay.
I'm aware of it, and I know a lot of women experience that, but I haven't figured out how to get past it to make myself still take time for things that are important for just me.
Yes. Good one. Okay. Well, are you up for a little on-the-spot coaching here?
Sure.
Okay. Very good. Well, you know, there are various different sort of techniques to turn a belief around and or rewrite it. In fact, in the Now What program, there's a particular technique that I teach. And I'm going to give you, because of the time tonight, I'm going to give you a little abbreviated version. But it's sort of the bottom line of it. And it's this. That wouldn't be fair to my family. Okay. Is that a productive belief? That wouldn't be fair to my family. Do you think that's productive?
No.
Okay. Okay. So what else might be possible if you were to turn it around a bit? What else might be possible?
I guess, you know, first thought is rather than assuming something would be a problem for my family or inconvenient for them, a more positive thought would be I should talk to my husband to see if it would work for me to such and such.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Rather than just drawing the negative conclusion without even opening the discussion.
Right, right. Okay. And that's one example. And I'll invite you to change one word in there. Instead of should, you can say can. So that can sound like this. Rather than assume, I can find out what's fair to my family. I can find out. Keep going. What's another? One of the things that I think is really helpful is when you're trying to generate a different belief, to generate a few of them, because some will you try on and it doesn't really fit, you know, and then, but another way of saying it will. So come up with another couple. So you said, okay, I can talk to my husband and find out. What else?
It's good for my family for me to meet my own needs.
Good one. I have a feeling you've been rehearsing that one. What else? Keep going. One more.
Maybe I could try this and see how it works out this time.
Mm-hmm. Perfect. And this is the thing. It's not like we're trying to come up with some snazzy tagline, you know. It's just, in fact, you can change it as you go along. Some of these, when you transform them, you'll really keep it like a mantra, you know. They'll be good. But others, it's just saying it in the moment, you know. So at one moment, you might just say, well, I'm willing to try. I know self-care is important. Self-care, I need self-care, so it must be fair. You know, we could keep going. We could go around the room, the whole virtual room, and someone could come up with another way to phrase it. So this is the work. You did it. And now the idea, once you come up with, and what we're doing here, everybody, is you're coming up with what you would like to believe. Okay, so it might not be like, it's not going to be installed yet. You're rewriting it. You're saying, you know what, I've outgrown that other belief about it not being fair, and I'm ready to rewrite it. That's what you're doing.
Jenny?
So it'll take a little practice. Yes, is that Pam with my reminder?
No, I'm sorry. It's Anne in Florida, real quick. Along the line,
yeah, go ahead.
We were just talking about the mother and always, you know, trying to find time for yourself and if it's right. One word that seems to be the bottom line in all of these things you're talking about is the word should. If you can replace it with can or will or want, and if another word feels better, that kind of helps you guide also whether or not it's something that is justifiable or...
Great. Love those. And that's a great tip. We were talking about language before. From should to can, will, want, I'm willing to. I like willing to, too. Excellent. So, Jessica, does that help you?
Yes, it does.
Now, here's a little challenge. So this is all part of the work. First, it's becoming aware of the belief that isn't so helpful, right? Then it's deciding, hey, you know what? I've outgrown that. I want to try something else. What else could be possible? Rewriting it, transforming it, like you just did, then your next work to implement it is going to be noticing when it comes up again and being able to say, oh, that's the old belief. You know, and you could do something like just say this, old tape, out loud to yourself. Old tape and the new tape is, you know, it's just sort of like something to interrupt the pattern. I'm actually going to give you a few more tips about that before we get off the call. Okay, so that was a great example of identifying the belief and how to generate a more productive thought. Now, there are many, as I said, there are different, people have different techniques to how to get to that belief, but that's it in a nutshell, is designing a belief or a thought that you'd rather think. And it'll become more natural as you go along. I'm going to give you more examples and more tips, but I think it's time for me to give you that special offer before we forget. So I'll take a couple minutes to do that now, and then we'll return to our content. Are you all set, Jessica, with that?
Yes, thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks for giving a great example.
Could I just say something about that?
Yes.
In the interest of full disclosure, I'm Jessica's mother.
Oh, hello, Jessica's mother. Welcome.
But I think voicing your needs is a big piece of that. Is it?
Yes.
Both to yourself and to others.
Yes. Yes.
Right, like I said, you know, the thought often silences me before I would even let my family know that I have a desire to do something for myself.
Right. Yes. So because you're aware of that, awareness is 80% of it, you know? So the other 20 is now being willing to try on the new belief. And I think saying things out loud, writing it down, you know, doodle it, writing it down, practicing it, and just saying, what else might be possible? What else might be true? What else could be true? When I was in high school in a literature class, we learned about the expression, a willing suspension of disbelief. Remember that one? It's basically, you know, in modern terms, if you're watching a movie, being willing to believe that the plot is possible, you know. And so here, you're willing to believe that, hey, maybe there's another possibility. I know I've been walking around thinking X, but maybe Y could be true. And by the way, a lot of the experts on this will say that it's not so much proving which belief is true, that's not what it's about. It's about what is the impact. So back to Kyle Maynard, the person I gave as an example before, you know, you could have said wrestling, you know, it's not true that he can wrestle. But he thought it was true, so he could wrestle. So it's not really about what, you know, most of the world would say is true or untrue. It's what's true for you and how is that belief going to operate in your life? Okay, now can I do my quick commercial? This is very important for people who are considering the program. It'll be quick and worth it. And then we'll return to, I've got a bunch more content and tips to give you before you get off. Okay. The Now What coaching program is one of my favorite coaching tools to use, and it's very unique methodology. And what you get from it is a very clear understanding of who you are, your purpose, where you are in your career, your business, your life, and what you want to do next. So just like the title, it's for when you're at a now what juncture in your life. You're facing a career decision, you want to make a change in your life, your business. And I just, the reason I'm holding this coaching group in March is I feel, because of the times we're in, I feel stronger than ever that, you know, the imperative to help people get proactive, get creative, and get your power back. There are too many people walking around saying, I can't do X, Y, Z because of the economy. Talk about a limiting belief. Now, it's not that the economy isn't tough, but, you know, you can do something about it. And so that's why I'm offering this. And there are some great early bird and refer a friend discounts for the group program, and you can read about those on my website. I'll give you the address. It's inthecurrent.com/programs_now-what. inthecurrent.com/programs_now-what. And so today's special bonus is that anyone who decides to register for the program by midnight tomorrow, you're going to receive a special private coaching session with me to use in February before the March program even starts. Just to give you a jump start, it's $125 value. And, you know, sometimes we need a little incentive to make a decision, and so that's what this is. And people are always asking me, when's your next Now What group? And this is the only one I've got on the schedule for the year, so this really could be an opportunity. The group program gives it to you at a very affordable price point. And so I hope you can take advantage of the bonus. And the way it'll work, I'm going to forward you that audio. And anyone you forward the audio to, if they decide to listen to that call tomorrow and register for the program, the March group program, by tomorrow, February 2nd, midnight, they will get this bonus session. But there's certainly no pressure, and there's two more preview calls and more content to listen to before you decide if it's the right fit. But if you feel like you're ready to do the work and if it's, you know, this is the thing you've been waiting for, then I encourage you to go ahead and do it. So the way you would register is you go to inthecurrent.com, and then you just go to the purchase page, and there's a little $50 deposit for the Now What coaching program. inthecurrent.com/purchase.html. Okay, so that's the special bonus for people who are ready to make a decision. Okie doke. So let's get back to the content here, because I have more good stuff to give you on this. I want to give you some tips for generating beliefs. So I was saying that it boils down to awareness and practice. I think what I'm going to do now is I'd like to share with you a couple of other examples, and then I'm going to run through as many tips as I can get through. I've got over 11 here. I'm not sure if we'll get through all of them, but we'll see what we can do. Okay. What I did today when I was preparing for the call is I gathered up some notes from a variety, several clients I've worked with who've done this beliefs piece. Oh, this is chapter 3 of the Now What program, by the way. And what we do is the reason you look at this first before identifying your next direction is it's to clear the way to be able to see that direction. And so the beliefs have to be cleared out. They can be clutter. So let's see. Here I'm going to share with you some of the most popular ones that I hear. You know, this is a good example of a limiting belief. I worked with a woman who was a corporate trainer, and she had a belief that I don't know enough. Or I'm supposed to know all the answers. That's how she articulated it. I'm supposed to know all the answers. They expect me to know all the answers whenever she was, you know, up doing her training thing. And so what we did, she scripted a new belief, and it was this. When I don't know, it leaves room for them to discover the answers themselves. And that really worked great for her because, and that's a key point about this, the new belief you're going to write isn't always the polar opposite of the limiting belief. So if she had said, well, I do know all the answers, obviously, that would not have been, it wouldn't have rung true for her. That would have created more anxiety, actually. But to be able to say, I know enough because I'm a trainer and I help people come up with their answers, you know, that worked for her. And a lot of times when people are discerning the next step, there's that pressure of, I'm supposed to know by now. I'm supposed to know by this time in my life. So you can turn that around to, I'm right on time to be sorting through this stuff. It's never too late. I'm right on time. I had a thing myself about I'm supposed to know X, Y, Z. And the way I flipped that around, and it took me a couple of layers to get to this, but I now, and you'll see this in my writing, it might even be on my home page, I don't know if I use this expression, I now say not knowing is the gateway. Not knowing is the gateway to possibility because it makes me open. If I knew, I wouldn't have to be open to anybody's ideas. So the shift in attitude was to become curious instead of pressure that I'm supposed to know the answers. You know, that didn't help. It just made me feel lousy. Can anybody relate to that? Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
A few other people out there feeling like they're supposed to know something? Who was it that said yes?
It was Barbara. I mean, you can apply that generally in saying I should know what is next in my life or I should know what I want.
Right.
You know, or more specifically that you should know what to do or how to respond in a particular situation.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay, well, everyone, we have about 6 minutes left. I am going to be staying on the call for Q&As if anyone has extra time, but I am going to end our call on time, too, for everybody. I am going to go through a few tips now pretty quickly, so get your pens ready. We'll see how many we can fit in 6 minutes. Are you game?
Yes.
Are you game or are you afraid? Okay. No, we're going to do it. And let's go. Okay. So, tips. And these are as I said in the beginning of the call, what I would like, my intention for you is to take one or two of these and experiment with them this week. Okay? So whichever ones ring your chimes tonight. Okay. The first one that I'd like everybody to do is to simply raise their awareness. Notice your internal dialogue. Okay, notice all those things we talked about, the emotional cues, the body cues, your language. So just raise your awareness. You might not be able to convert the belief right away, but raise your awareness. Okay. Second tip, give permission to someone you respect to gently tell you when you're limiting yourself. Maybe you'll even want to do it mutually, because it's easier to hear each other. Okay. Here's a fun one, and this is a few people do this technique. It is in the Taming Your Gremlin book. You can, I think, yes, in the learning points, I said I wanted to tell you how you could lighten up as you're doing this. This does not have to be serious work. Use a little humor. So you can give your critic or gremlin, or whatever you want to call this, critical voice, a name, personify it. I worked with someone who, what would he say? He would say, Captain Blubbermouth is in the room. Captain Blubbermouth. I had one for myself I used several years back when I felt that I was, you know, feeling like I had to have all my ducks in a row before doing something. I would call that one Not Yet Norma. Not Yet Norma. Or if you're in perfectionist mode, you know, Picky Polly's in the room. And it's silly. It's just silly, but that's the point. When you lighten up, you can say, oh, okay. So give your critic a name. And you can even say, you know, it's sort of like Elvis has left the building. You know, oh, Picky Polly's in the room. Okay. Give your critic airtime, but limit the airtime. Okay? Now, sometimes our critical voice is bringing up something that can be helpful. You know, like, hey, you really need to factor in X, Y, Z. For instance, I'm going to give you an example here. Okay? This is an example of airtime. lots of times when people are getting ready to make a career change, they'll say, or a job change, or geographic change, whatever it is, something will come up about money. You know, oh, but, you know, there's not going to be enough money if I do X, Y, Z. Now, an example of giving your critic airtime there, well, you can say, okay, I hear you. You know, you're talking to yourself. Okay, I hear you, but I know that I'm going to address the money issue. I'm not going to do anything rash. So that's giving your critic airtime and acknowledging what might be a valid part of the concern, but not getting stuck in the paralysis part of it. You with me on that one?
Yes.
Okay, good. You want a few more? Someone say go ahead if you want a few more, or I can explain the ones I've given you.
Go ahead.
Okay. Okay. A next tip, make a bridge. Make a bridge. So it doesn't have to be going from A to Z, black to white, but make a bridge. Start to turn in the direction you want to go. Like the example I gave you with that trainer who said, I know enough. She didn't say, I know everything. Another example of a bridge comes from my niece Olivia when she was 8 years old, and she told her mom, Mom, we're not going to win the soccer game because we never do. And she just, it did not feel possible for her to say, we're going to win the soccer game. So my sister wisely said to her, Olivia, will you consider that you might win the soccer game? That was the bridge. Now, Olivia scored 2 goals that game. They didn't win, but she scored 2 goals. And she, prior to that, she used to run down the, this is a great metaphor, she used to run down the field and stop herself. But because she opened up to maybe, she made the 2 goals. That's making a bridge. Okay, so you've got to, the new belief has to feel plausible to you. Okay? I already told you, lighten up, use humor. Say it like you mean it. Talk to yourself. Say it out loud. I like this one. If it won't go away, the old belief, interview it. Interview it. Say, okay, what do I need to know here? What might be true? Okay, and I'm gonna race and give you 3 more, and then we'll close it up. This is a really good one. If you can't come up with a new empowering belief, ask yourself this: what would I say to my best friend? Or what would I say to a child, your son, your daughter, your niece, your nephew? I guarantee you it will not be something as harsh as you say to yourself. So that's a great way to come up with a new belief. Identify role models. And, I'll 2 more. Take an action to cement the new belief. Take an action to cement the new belief. So in the example earlier that Jessica gave, you know, actually have the conversation with your husband. So the belief has to be followed up with an action. And the last tip, and then I'll wrap us up. The last tip is, as you install the new beliefs, try that thing with the posture. Okay, go into standing how you stand when you say, that wouldn't be fair to my family. What does that feel like? Standing up with whatever, the examples before. And then stand up with, it's good for my family, or I do care about this. No, I will find a way. And that will help you move into the energy of that new belief. Well, guess what, folks? I have plenty more to share with you, but that's all we have time for tonight. The key point is to raise your awareness about how you're talking to yourself and try rewriting some beliefs. And just ask yourself, what's another way of looking at this? What else could be true? I'm going to wrap us up there. And thank you for coming tonight, and I hope to hear from you on how it's going with implementing some of these. There's plenty more on this topic, but I hope you got a good taste tonight and something you can sink your teeth into. What I'm going to do now is stop the recording, but I will stay on the line for a few minutes if people have questions, want any clarity on those tips I whizzed through, or any questions on the Now What program. Otherwise, I hope to see you back next week because we have another great topic next week on a Monday's call.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you,
Jenny. Thank you.